Well, perhaps you would turn back to Philippians chapter 4, and that's page 187 of the New Testament sections of the Church Bibles. We've been looking through the whole letter to the Philippians over quite a number of months now, and in fact this service is the only one that's going to finish it, because next week we'll be looking at the very last verses, and the 10:45 service has got a junior church service, so that'll be a little different. So Philippians chapter 4. I ask myself, am I a contented person? Are you basically at peace with yourself and with God? I wonder if you know the children's song which ends, "Thank you, Lord, for making me me." Can I sing that and mean it? Am I basically content with the person God has made me, or am I frequently dissatisfied? Of course, there are things God wants to change in us. Rough edges to be pared down, bad habits to be weaned away from. But God has made me the person I am. Am I happy to be the way I am? And can I say I am happy with the circumstances of my life? This is not saying, do you have no ambition? Is there nothing you want to achieve? Rather, are you basically content with where you find yourself in life? With your singleness or your marriage? With your job and where you're at on the career ladder? With your income and your home and the friends and the social life you have, with your place in the church family? Are you at peace about these things, many of them given to you beyond your control, or are you often in turmoil about them, fundamentally discontented? St. Paul is coming to the end of his letter. He's just talked in verse 7 about the peace of God. He's just said in verse 9 that if we turn our minds to what is good and pure, if we act on what we know to be right, the God of peace will be with you. Now he turns to thank the Philippians for the money they've sent to support him. Verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. And in case that sounds like a rebuke, he adds, you were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. And then he speaks about his own experience of contentment. And the first message for us whose emotions are frequently turbulent, who are often not at peace, is learn contentment. He's just spoken of their kindness in giving him money. And then he goes on, verse 11, not that I complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And again, verse 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I find that a tremendous encouragement. I regard St. Paul as the greatest Christian who ever lived, except, of course, Jesus himself, Paul's Lord. But even Paul didn't find that contentment came naturally or immediately to him, because isn't the implication of his phrase, I have learnt to be content, that it took him some time to learn that lesson? Yes, it tells us that it may well take us time to learn contentment. Verse 11, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Didn't come overnight. I arrived in Crowborough when I was 40. I'm now 50. And I have found throughout my 40s that my biggest struggle has been over contentment. I think that's true for many men in our 40s. We have considerable energy, we feel we can achieve a great deal, and yet very few of us achieve all that we hope. We have disappointments and failures. And maybe you at a different stage of your life, perhaps immediately following retirement, or for quite different reasons, are struggling to be at peace, to be content. You may have waves of finding it hard to be on your own because you've never married or because you're now widowed or divorced. You may, on the other hand, be married but going through a particularly difficult patch. Paul encourages us with this thought. It may take us time to arrive at this state of peace, but we can get there. I have learned to be content, he says. And also, and I'm sorry that this is rather faint on the screen, this next point, ask God to teach us contentment. Paul says in verse 12, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and want. But a better translation would be, I have been taught the secret, or I have been initiated. When you start work for a new company, especially in a field you haven't worked in before, at first you're completely at sea. You don't know how the company works. You don't know whom you should go to with a problem. You may not even understand half the technical terms. But in a good company, there's someone to initiate you, to teach you the ropes. And that is what God will do for us. So we need to ask him to teach us contentment. Every time we're struggling because our career hopes have been dashed and we're clearly getting nowhere, or because our health is getting no better, we should turn to God and ask him again to teach us contentment. Then says Paul from his experience, learn contentment in all circumstances. He says in verse 11, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, sorry, this is verse 12, I have learnt the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. And he had said it in verse 11, not that I complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Paul teaches us to learn contentment in difficult circumstances. When, as he puts it, I'm abased, or in hunger, and in want. And Paul knew all these things at first hand. He'd been sometimes without food for days on end. He'd been desperately short of money. He'd been treated as the scum of the earth, spat upon and lied about, flogged and even stoned and left for dead. But even in these situations, he learned to be content. And the clue seems to be seeing God as our Father and guide. Continuing to know at the deepest level that God cares for us, that he feels with us in what we're going through, and that he is guiding us both into those difficult situations and through them. I've always been struck by the words Job spoke. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 1, verse 21. Job said this when his business had just gone bust and he had lost all his children in a dreadful tragedy. Some Christians in East Timor have learnt to say this. Some have in the killing fields of Rwanda and Burundi. And can we learn to say this when we or our husband have without warning been made redundant? When our hopes for marriage have suddenly come to nothing, when we didn't get the job we were longing for. I'm not saying this is at all easy. Much easier to feel bitter or to blame other people. But Paul teaches us to learn contentment in difficult circumstances. And also in flourishing circumstances. When, says Paul in verse 11, I abound, when I'm in plenty and abundance. That probably was Paul's experience sometimes. When the Philippians or another church suddenly sent him money, when a government official was interested in his message and was favoring him, when a sudden spurt of people were being converted. But in those situations too, he needed to learn contentment. Not to be overexcited by material advantages or success in his work. And the clue surely was seeing God as giver and owner. As giver of the benefits that came his way, and God as the owner of them even after they'd been given. It reminds me of David's famous words, all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. David said this when the Israelites had given money and precious objects in abundance for the building of the temple. He never forgot that God had given them their wealth, and God still owned it, whose ever name the bank account was in. And can we feel the same when we get a new job and our income goes up by 50%? Or an unexpected and generous legacy comes our way? Or we move into a new and more spacious house? That isn't easy either. It's much easier to feel proud or self-satisfied or greedy. But Paul teaches us to learn contentment in these circumstances. A contentment that genuinely hands all the riches and benefits back to God. And then Paul comes to the crowning verse of this passage and to the secret of contentment, living in Christ. He says in verse 13, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. I think it was the first verse I ever learnt as a new Christian. It's wonderful habit to get into, to learn verses by heart. And I think this verse, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. I remember writing it at the front of the first new Bible I bought after I became a Christian and learning it by heart. Paul means, of course, I can cope with all these different circumstances, discouraging and encouraging, in and with Christ. In Paul's day, the Stoics sought to be unaffected by whatever life threw at them, good or bad, to have the inner resources to be utterly self-sufficient. In our day, many Hindus and Buddhists and people in this country affected by Eastern religious thought try to detach themselves from this world so that happy events and suffering don't affect them at all. But that's very different from what St. Paul is talking about here. He's not talking about developing his own inner resources. Still less is he talking about detaching himself from this world. He is talking about drawing on the much greater resources of Christ himself. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Christ strengthens me, he's saying, to cope with the difficult circumstances. I met a woman the other day who's been a widow for a few months. Of course there are days when she weeps. Of course there are dark times when she feels dreadfully the loss. She's not trying to pretend that nothing much has happened or that she's got over it in a few months. But she does say, Christ has drawn closer to me than ever before. I have needed him and leant on him, especially in the middle of those lonely nights. She's been able to cope in Christ who strengthens her. And Christ strengthens me to remain godly in the flourishing circumstances. A young man got a first in his university degree, and all the world was congratulating him. He said to me very sincerely, obviously I'm pleased, and I know it may open up opportunities for research or for a good job, but people are making rather a fuss. It's only a degree. And what I really want, he said, is to stay with and grow closer to Christ. Now that is Christ at work in a person's life. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. These verses at the end of Philippians leave me with two questions. This is the first. Do I want God to teach me contentment? Now that may seem like an unnecessary question, but if learning contentment is a long process, it's only wise to ask whether I really want to be taught. I once started learning German. I spent a summer plowing through a teacher self-book, doing all the exercises, but it was rather a waste of time because I wasn't prepared to stick at it. I gave up after a while. And my German is pretty hopeless now. It's the same with learning contentment. We need to want to learn it, to stick at it if we're going to get anywhere. We will certainly sometimes fail. We'll get disgruntled again and lose our peace. But that's when, if we really want to learn contentment, we'll turn back to God our teacher and ask his help and learn more from him again. And the second question, do I want Christ more than any other ambitions? It's important to face that too. Because if what really matters to me more than anything else is to do well in my job, or to keep my house immaculate, or to see my children married, or to have grandchildren, or to make more money, then I'm bound to be to some degree disappointed. I will never be at peace. But if my desire is to grow closer to Christ, if, to use the words we hope to have in stone around the apse of the new church, I want to know Christ and his power and his sufferings, then I will be without doubt fundamentally at peace. Peace with myself and peace with God. Because Christ never disappoints. I can face all things in Christ who strengthens me. Let us pray.